Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Predators puck drop isn't until 8:30 tonight, a nationally televised game on TNT against the Colorado Avalanche. But Barry Trotz is still here at 5 o'clock for his weekly chat. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm good.
Glad to have you here as always. So let's start. I want to ask you about a report I saw over the weekend. Our friend Elliot Freeman, who joins our program every week, he reported on Hockey Night in Canada that the New Jersey Devils, among other players, have their eyes on Ryan O'Reilly and Steven Stamkos. I know you have a relationship with Tom Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Have the two of you discussed either of those players?
I will say that's between me and Tom, if we did. But I am, it's my job right now to listen to everything. If someone comes to me regarding Steven Stamkos, I'm going to listen. Doesn't mean that Steven's going to be moved. Obviously, he's got protection. But I think there's everybody at this time, every team in the league is calling around, would you move this? Would you move that? Would you move this? I'm listening, and I said, what would you give for that? And I'm just taking as many calls as I can and trying to get values on what's out there, because that'll be a really important aspect going forward. You know, you're not going to make a deal or ask a player to move no trade or no movement clause unless it's something that has some substance to it.
I'll honor the privacy between you and Tom Fitzgerald, but would you dispute the report from Saturday?
No, I think I'm getting calls on Steven by a few teams. Mm-hmm. There's no question, but he controls that at this point. So all I do is listen, and that's it.
A more general question. Friedman also said that the Devils, not necessarily with the players we just discussed, but any moves that the Devils might make, they would need to move out money in order to make those trades. So a general question. How willing are you to take on bad contracts and potential trades if it means improving the return?
Absolutely, we're open-minded to that. I think you have to be. Depends on how bad the contracts are and the length of the contracts. That's, mm-hmm. that's really what it comes down to. I think you're asking me questions that I can dispute, but at the same time, you have to listen to everything. So, as I said last week, it's everything's on the table. It has to be. We're not in a spot where we could say no. We're in a spot where we have to listen. We're going to assess and analyze what the returns are and what we need to go going forward. What we need to do and what assets we're going to need to hang on to and what assets we can maybe capitalize on at this time.
So one thing that you are not allowed to do is you are not allowed to do a double salary retention trade, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So how much does the fact that you can no longer do that complicate things? Steven Stamkos, for example, would be a prime candidate for that had that still been allowed, because he does carry an $8 million cap hit. So the fact that you can't send him to Team B, who retains part of his salary, and then sends him to Team C, how does that complicate things for you generally?
Well, that's where the combination of going forward on what a team might want to give back. It's either we have two options. We have retention or we have taking a salary back. So it complicates it a little bit. But at the same time, if you got the right partner and the fit is right, it's going to happen.
Let me ask you about Stamkos and O'Reilly on the ice. They've been on a line lately with Luke Evangelista, and it seems that that line has elevated the games of all three players. Why has that been a successful mix?
Well, I think, on every good line, there's there's a playmaker, and it's driven. I think Ryan O'Reilly drives a lot out of the offensive stuff. He's very intelligent. He's got a great stick. He sees the ice pretty well. You got a finisher in Stammer, and he can still pass the puck, and he still makes some plays. And I just think with Luke and Ryan have had something good. It's helped Luke's development this year. I think Luke's played much better after probably the first 10 games. He sort of caught up to the rest of the group, And there's a playmaker on there. There's a guy that's got dog in him, you know, in O'Reilly. And then you got a real good, smart, you know, future Hall of Famer in Steven Stamkos to finish. So it's got all the elements for a good line when they're all working, and they're all working.
We're talking to Barry Trotz, Predators general manager. They play tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. And, Barry, we've seen now a couple of nice moments for Reed Schaefer and Matt Wood. Wood had a really nice goal, you know, through the legs there. You know, the game was a little out of hand, but you see the what he can do a little bit. Reed Schaefer, we've gotten a little feel for his game. What are your impressions of what you like and what needs to be the next step for them?
Well, I think in Woody's case, you see the hands. You see what our scouts saw in him, the ability to get into the interior, the ability to get, you know, that shot off, ability to make plays in tight quarters. Ability to come off the walls, really good sort of poise and deception. Just like any young player who's got some size to him, you know, he worked really hard in the skating. His skating has come miles in just one summer. Not that he wasn't working on it before, but he really doubled down this year, and he did everything to really improve that. So the sort of continuation of being able to continue to get quicker, continue to be more powerful, get more of that man strength, and then he'll get more productive, even more so than he is right now. So, and then also getting used to the grind of the NHL. I mean, this is the, you know, sort of the quarter pole or just out past the quarter pole, and he's, you know, probably played, you know, half a season of college already. So college is, the great thing about college is that there's separation. You get time, you play Friday, Saturday night, Sunday's probably off, and then you sort of work your way to the next weekend. In the National Hockey League, you're playing every 48 hours.
Yeah, especially this year, right,
yeah,
with the compressed schedule.
This year.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily physically, and it is physically a hard for players, but mentally. Like, it is, you know, we call it Groundhog Day, and you live it. You travel with us, Willie, and you're playing, you show up. We have practice, they get on the plane, we travel, and do the same thing the next day in another city. So I think that's, as the season goes on, you'll see if Matthew can thrive on it or it gets to you a little bit. Because it is a...
You've seen both over the years,
I've seen
sure.
both. I've seen both. I've seen a young player really, really thrive. And, you know, I think I said last year, we were talking about Svechkov. You know, the biggest thing that he said is, you know, ooh, you know, and, you know Svech, he goes... Oh, every second day, that's really hard, you know.
Yeah. In his own way, he's one of the more charismatic guys out there.
Yeah, it's really hard, and he was talking about it mentally, because you're up and then you're down, and then you got to get going again. Where, you know, when you're in the minors or playing in KHL, the games are separated a lot of times by 3, 4, 5 days between games, so you get a chance to, you know, exhale. In the National Hockey League, once you start, you don't have a chance to exhale. And that's why it's such an unforgiving league.
So we mentioned Schaefer as well. What do you see from him? You've been telling us about him. Now we've seen him for a couple weeks. What are you seeing so far from him? Because I've seen some moments where he's like, you know what, I'm 6'5". I actually can hit this guy. And then, of course, he sees – what happens as a result, he gets the tension, but he's getting to some tough areas as well.
He does, and that's where Reed will have a great success in this league, is that he will, you know, he's got that nice combination. I mean, he's 6'4". He skates like a smaller man. He's powerful. But you tend to forget that he's still like the 20-year-old, and he still doesn't have that man strength. So he's going to get a bit faster. He's going to get a little stronger. He's going to get to know the league a little bit better. I mean, it's easy to say... unless you're wired really, really like Toots was, I mean, who's fearless, you sort of get to gauge the league a little bit, you know, which guy's a bluffer, which guy's really, really tough, which guy throws to the right or left if I draw attention. So he's got to learn the league a little bit. You saw it in the American Hockey League last year. You know, he came out his first year you know, he was not I wouldn't say tentative, but he was just feeling his way through it. And then all of a sudden he just took off and unfortunately got hurt and missed the season. But you could tell once he got that confidence, hey, I've been here, done that. I know this guy. I know what they're all about. Then you're going to see him have success. So Really happy having a big guy that can skate like that. I mean, we've got to continue to put emphasis on speed. We want skill and speed. We want our fans to be able to jump up all the time when we have a guy pull off a high skilled play and our execution's high and all that. So we're going to continue to draft a combination of speed, skill, size to have a really good format for, you know, what we want to do in the future.
The last couple of games have been very interesting. You had maybe one of the best wins of the year at Florida, where you had a desperate Florida team that had lost some games. You knew you were going to get their best game, and they found a way to win. Then really good team in Carolina that came out. They played really well. Both games involved a lot of penalties taken by the Predators. And I wanted to ask you about how you tried to handle that as a coach, because everybody says the same thing. Got to stay out of the box. Stay out of the box. Nobody wants to go out there and take six penalties. In one game, you overcame it, and the next game, it sunk you at the beginning of the game. So how does a coach work on that? What can a coach do to try to get a team out of a funk like that?
When you do that, there's different elements. Obviously, the coaches, now these days, the way contracts are and all that, you have only one thing is plain and simple is ice time. From a coaching standpoint, I always looked at it two ways. I looked at it as ice time. I looked at it as being a good teammate. So if a guy starts piling up penalties, I would start talking about what is a true good teammate. True good teammate doesn't take multiple penalties in a game. Doesn't take offensive zone penalties. True teammate doesn't do maybe this or that. Reason why is that the guys that you think you do something that is from lack of effort or just a little bit of carelessness, there's going to be times when there's the guy steps on your stick, you get a tripping call, and it's not intentional. But all the intentional stuff I really call out as being a good teammate, because the guy that's killing that penalty is probably going to have to block a shot at sometimes, so he's putting himself at risk. Those guys are paying for your sins, if you will, which is not good signs of a good teammate. Now, I can tell you all I'm around the room a lot, and we have good teammates, but we have this year at times gone in little segments of two or three games where not only do we take one penalty, we take like four or five in a row. Some are intentional, some aren't, but the combination in those games, be it an offensive zone penalty here, maybe not a great penalty. We take one because we put a puck over the glass. We take one on a holding because they're trying to make a play, or a guy's going around us, get a little bit of a holding call, and they just sort of mound on you, and you're playing shorthanded for 6-8 minutes, and that's happened to us too many. And we're not a good enough team to overcome that night in and night out. There's just no way.
So tonight, that would be a test.
Sure. especially
if Colorado. You look at Colorado's power play, it's pretty. Yeah.
What is Colorado? 21-1-6 or something. Yeah.
Two regulation losses. And so far
their
this
power
season.
Play is over 30%. I think something like that. It's scary.
No, they're in a different league right now, and they're deep and they're fast and they've got a lot of veteran a lot of star power and a lot of veteran presence and. They're hitting it on all cylinders right now. There's no one in the league that's even close to them right now. I guess Dallas would be the closest, and they're playing at a different level, and they'd probably be right now the odds on favorite to be the Stanley Cup champions if you were betting today. But those are great tests. Those are tests for our team, the veteran group, also the young guys. I mean, when we were starting out, Willie, in the early days, that powerful Detroit team that you had to see six, seven times a year,
sometimes eight,
sometimes
a couple
eight.
Of those years,
and you're going, they're very capable of getting a dozen goals every night, and they made us better. We found ways to hang in games. Pekka Rinne had a lot to do with that, and but it made us better. That was the best development tool that this organization could have had in the early years, was a great Detroit team and then a really powerful Chicago team. So, this is another another eye-opening game for us, too, is you're playing a team that's just loaded.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, I've been wondering this. There is a banned phrase or word in the GM fraternity, rebuild. I've noticed that a lot of GMs don't like to use that word.
Yeah.
You've used blend to describe what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You've used transition. So why do GMs not like to use that word? And is there a difference in your mind between a transition slash blend and a rebuild?
Yeah, I think there is. There's different forms. And I think, you know, it's easy just to use rebuild right across the board. I think teams are in different situations. Teams, you know, that have had a total rebuild, they've, you look back at, I want to say Chicago, like 7 or 8 years ago now. You know, they had a couple of young players. I think it was DeBrincat, and they saw that they were at a point where, you know what, we were going to go into full rebuild, and they moved on from DeBrincat, for instance. And they just sort of went right down to the studs.
I think they traded Panarin at that time as well.
And they burned it right down to the studs, and they collected as many picks as they could. I think they had three top five picks in succession. They had 34 first-round picks over a span of those 3 years. It crop-dusted the whole first few rounds, the whole draft, and started that rebuild. There's teams that are in a little bit different situation where you've got, you know, some like us, we have some older players, but we've already started building a base. We've drafted some first round picks. You see Wood, you see Schaefer, you see Svechkov, LaRue, hopefully in a couple of weeks here. So there's people coming already. We drafted Brady Martin, our first top five pick. And so those teams were able to get to the point where, they're going to be, you look at Chicago right now, they'll be a powerhouse in a couple of years. A good example would be San Jose. They had Hurdle and all that. They actually really didn't start their rebuild till really 2-3 years ago. But they did get three top picks already. And so now you see them starting to go that way. And those are probably rebuilds. One was right down to the studs. And the other one was, we had to peel off some guys. And it's sort of where we are. We're probably very, very similar. We've got some older guys, but we've got some young guys coming. But the difference is San Jose didn't have a base that we do already. So if we continue down this road and we don't get to where we want to get to this year, then they will have to do the hard things and move some people out and sort of get more draft choices and more picks and keep building that base so that we can be that the team that's can say, hey, we got lots of young players, we got lots of assets, we got lots in the toolbox, and we just got to wait and give them time. And it'll be exceptional. It'll be a little bit of pain because there is a growing pain that you go through in this league, but on the other end, you're going to be in a good spot for 10 years. Like Chicago's going to be in a good spot for the next 10 years. They have to go through a lot of the pain of the last few years. So that's the cycle that you have in the National Hockey League. You look at the teams that are in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, or last couple of years. Edmonton got the three, McDavid.
Took them a while. Yeah,
it took them a while, but they got top number one picks 2-3 in a number of years in a row.
And they even missed on a couple of them. Got it, yeah.
But they're in the Cup Finals now. You look at teams.
Colorado was an example of that.
Exactly.
Yep.
So you need to, collect some of those high picks because you don't get Nathan MacKinnon by picking 23rd. You get Nathan MacKinnon if you're picking one or two. And I remember that draft. It was MacKinnon, Barkov, Drouin, and Jones, and we got Jones at four. And you think about this, the great thing about this franchise is, I think it's 26, 27 years. How many top five picks has this franchise had? We had David Leguan, Seth Jones.
And now Brady Martin.
Brady Martin.
That's it.
In 26 years. That's pretty good for a franchise. what we did, and I was probably a part of it. David Poyle was a part of it. We did too good of a job in the early years. We did.
Yeah.
Because, you know, second year in the league, we're drafting seventh and eighth, where we should have probably been one or two. But that's how competitive this organization is.
But there's a benefit to that, right, that you would say, right?
Yeah.
That you learned, you built the foundation of how you wanted to play, the culture. That's the trade-off, right?
Yeah, absolutely, the trade-off. And really, I look back at, you know, the 26 years, and I, you know, you could go one way or the other. I don't think this market, this franchise was ready for the first pick overall right away, because the early years were lean. And we had to try to be as entertaining and as competitive as we could early and quickly, because you know, the early years, this wasn't a hockey market. This is a terrific hockey market now. So I think people understand it. Back then, they didn't understand the game that well. I remember them standing for the whole first game, just like football or basketball, and never sat down. And, you know, I remember Terry Crisp or the announcer going, "That was icing." You know, icing is when, you know. So we've come a long way. So, you know, for our franchise, that's a real feather in your cap that you had to do it the hard way. I remember we didn't have much because we were a new franchise. You know, things were a little lean in the early years that we didn't have I remember going in the first playoff series and Detroit had their payroll was $72 million. Ours was 13, and we're going to play them in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we got some kids. I remember the early lean years where I would put David Gosselin and Peter Sikora, guys that had played in Milwaukee, played a few games in Nashville on the ice, and Detroit would counter with Fedorov, Yzerman, Shanahan, Lidstrom, and we're lining up, and they're going, you know, they're just feasting on us, and our young guys learned to survive. Our young guys, we learned to play a little different style. That's the reason it's called Smashville, is that we said, you know what, we're not as skilled as you, but we're going to run you over a few times, and we'll knock down some of that level of skill. We're going to have to do it on work ethic. We're going to have to do it on different things. So we learn to adapt, just like we're learning to adapt now. You know, we tried to do a little bit of the blend, thinking, you know, I can get us to buy some time for our young kids. In some ways we have, but I thought we'd be a little bit higher up the standings than we were last year. And, you know, the plan hasn't really changed. We are going to continue to get young kids, develop them, and build a really good team here that can win for a long time. So that plan hasn't changed. It's just sometimes it seems like it gets clouded over a little bit by wins and losses and you know all the other rumors. Steven Stamkos going to get traded or this. There's so much out there. I talked to the group. I said, you know, there's so much noise, guys, and all of it's not true, and all of it's true. Because, you know, someone asked me about Steven Stamkos, would you move him? Yeah, for the right price, yeah. That would be the answer from 32 other general managers, 31 other general managers for sure. You got to listen, and if there's something that may have some substance, then you're going to act upon it. But so many rumors, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, Stamkos, Marchessault, we just go through our whole team. I mean, it's yes to everything because it's my job to listen. And if something makes sense, then we'll act upon it. And other than that, you guys do a good job coming up with all the good stuff and all the rumors. And I had people telling me how our like I said, how our room is or how it isn't, and about my coach and about me or whatever. Those are all, I get it. Everybody has their opinion. But we have to stay steadfast on having a good plan and continuity to stay with it, even if there is some pain. So I appreciate what you guys do all the time. I appreciate the fans, because this game is not always about the wins and losses. It's about the other stuff in the game, and that's building something. We want to build something great here, And there's going to be some times when it's not going to go as smooth. And we understand that. And that's where I come in. I got big shoulders, as you know. I can take it. So we're just going to continue down that path.
Barry Trotz has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, as always, a pleasure to catch up with you. Enjoy the later start tonight. Good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to have my pajamas on up in the booth. Yeah, it's going to be it's a little bit later. That's obviously the blessing and the curse of the Central Time Zone. This
yes.
is what you get sometimes. So I don't mind this because we're going to have to be on these times when we start making the playoffs.
That's right. You get those 8:30s.
We'll train the young guys to do that. So, all right.
Thank you, Barry. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Barry Trotz had to say coming up next. 615-737-1025. Also, I want to give a quick shout-out to Reddit user Rene Fervezina, who transcribes our interviews with Trotz and claims not to like me. Good luck transcribing that final answer from Barry Trotz. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025. The game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. One thing you have to admire about Barry Trotz. Mm-hmm. That man can talk.
Hey. He's not going to leave anything on the table.
No. Well, you're no. GM,
he's going
to
answer the question.
And look, appreciate the fact that Trotz comes on our program every week. But I was so close to busting out a stopwatch for that last response. He leaves no stone unturned, which I appreciate.
Hasn't changed in 26 years.
Do you expect it to change? He's very thorough in what he's saying.
He covers a lot of ground. But the one thing that he said that I think is important is nothing is off the table. He has said that multiple times. He wasn't breaking news when he said that.
But he didn't have any restrictions on some of the things you tried to pin him down on.
Yes.
On, hey, you know, I really don't like – because share the story you share with me, Adam, because not every general manager is open to taking on a quote-unquote bad contract just to balance the books, right? For example, some of these teams that are contending, they want good players. They want to load up. But they need to offload some salary in order to make it fit under their cap. So that's the dilemma, and I know you've had this conversation in the past.
Yes. So after the Predators were swept out of the first round of the playoffs by the Avalanche in 2022, I asked David Poile if he would use cap space. At the time, they had a lot of it. I asked him if he would use that cap space to take on bad contracts in exchange for future assets, and he told me no. I found the quote, I'd rather put that money into desirable players.
But the trade-off is, and as Barry mentioned, if you do it David Poile's way, which, remember at the time, it was post-COVID, mm-hmm. and the cap was flat.
Correct.
So
a different time.
I could see why he would feel that way as at the time, even though I think he probably always, as a base, felt that way. He didn't want to take on bad money. But especially then. Now, with the cap way going drastically up, there's usually more room a team has to be able to bury a contract
right.
Of that nature. But if it means you get more in return, as Barry kind of hinted at, because it would all be a question of what are you giving me, right?
Right.
I'm not just taking on a bad contract because.
No.
But if you say, hey, if you take Adam's bad Adam's not very good. He makes $6 million.
Earlier, I thought I was a great outside linebacker.
Well, sometimes you're a different character okay. just for the movie we're in, right? You're a good actor. You can play.
I'm a chameleon.
The bum, and you can play the superstar.
Okay.
This case, you're the overpaid bum.
Sure.
So if I'm gonna take Adam's contract, which is, you know, he's overpaid.
Bumify.
But I say, hey, if you take Adam's contract, mm-hmm. I will give you an extra XYZ. This is a prospect you really like. I don't want to give him up. But if you take Adam's contract off my hands, we got a deal. Now we're talking. That's how you work that.
Yes. So Elliot Freeman, who joins us on Thursdays, his report over the weekend on Hockey Night in Canada was that the Devils are perhaps the most active team at the moment, and they have looked at Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly, among other players. He also mentioned that the Devils are in a cap situation where in order to take on a player, they are going to need to move out money. So I actually do want to give credit to my friend Ryan, a.k.a. at Angry Preds Fan on social media, because I saw this first from
him.
He's
your friend?
He's my friend. He's my online friend.
Your online friend.
He's my online friend. I have not met him.
Is his real name Ryan?
As far as I know. He's my online friend.
Your online pen pal?
I just wanted to make that distinction.
Yes, he's my online friend.
He's everywhere on Twitter, right? Yes. Everybody knows who he is.
Yes. But you've never met him.
No.
I don't think he lives in Nashville.
He lives in Canada, if I'm not mistaken. He's like my imaginary girlfriend from Canada.
Wait, I swear she's real, guys.
You didn't have a friend who said, I have a girlfriend. You're like, does she live in Canada?
Oh, when I was little, when I was younger.
Okay, back on track.
I'm vacationing right now.
Back on track. Okay.
Show me a picture.
You had to cut out a model from
a
magazine.
It's back home.
Yes. Okay, hold on.
Okay, go
because
ahead.
He suggested if the Predators make a trade with the Devils, that they should take back Andre Palat, one of Steven Stamkos' former teammates who is in New Jersey, who's having a bad season. He is 34 years old. He has 5 points in 29 games. He makes, if I'm not mistaken, $6 million against the cap through next season.
Yeah, so he's dead weight right now. He was a great player on great teams. I shouldn't say he was a great player. He was a very good piece of a big-time winning team.
Yes.
For a long time.
So if you're the Predators and Tom Fitzgerald, former Predators captain, who is now the GM in New Jersey, if he's interested in Ryan O'Reilly, for example, and he says to Barry Trotz, I want to take on Ryan O'Reilly. I don't have enough room. I need you to take Andre Palat. Barry Trotz can say, okay, I will, but that B-level prospect you're giving me has to be an A-level prospect now. And it sounds like he's open to it, which I like. I think that's the right way to go about it. The other thing that's complicating matters, as I mentioned to Trotz, is the NHL has abolished the double salary retention trades. So when Ryan O'Reilly was traded from the Blues to the Maple Leafs, he actually made a pit stop in Minnesota. I believe he was traded from St. Louis to Minnesota to Toronto. And Minnesota retained, I believe, a quarter of his salary, so when he went to Toronto, he had a much lower cap hit. You can't do that anymore. So Steven Stamkos would have been a prime candidate for that. The Predators trade Steven Stamkos to Team B. They retain 25% of his salary, and then that team trades Stamkos to the team that he actually wants to go to. You can't do that anymore. So that's going to complicate things for Trotz when he's making these moves.
I agree, and I'm curious all around the league what that ends up looking like. And right now, it's still relatively early. It's only December 9th. But let's just take you mentioned New Jersey. New Jersey's looking around, and we were gonna have this this type of discussion in football with what's going on in the AFC with the Colts issues at quarterback and the opportunity now that teams like the Broncos and the Patriots have in front of them, like the Chiefs and the Ravens may not even make the playoffs. The Colts might have Phillip Rivers quarterbacking their team in the playoffs. This could be our year. Let's go for it. I think the Devils are looking at the Florida Panthers, who they've won the last two, and they are strapped right now with injuries. They've played a lot of hockey. I think there's still time for them to get back in the picture, but, man, they may not get back. Toronto doesn't look like they're quite the same. I think the Devils are looking around going, this might be the time to go for it. And there's not a lot of teams out of it. So I think right now, if you look at the Predators, who are hard-pressed to get back into it, right, they're still playing to try. You got to keep trying until you're out of it, until you really reach the reality, even though some people would already say they're there. They're moving in that direction, right? And there's very few teams in that boat. So when Barry Trotz says all 31 other general managers are calling him, I'll bet you that's true. I don't think he's exaggerating. You know, if it's not 31, I'll bet you it's about 20, 25, right? Because all of them are saying, who are the teams that are really likely to be sellers right now? Let's get in early and figure out what they've got. What do we have? Let's start building conversations that could go one way or another.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Barry Trotz's interview from earlier in the hour. If you missed it, it will be available wherever you get your podcasts. We'll also take your thoughts on imaginary girlfriends from Canada. Why not?
615. What were their names?
Yes. What were their names? 615-737-1025. Derek, I'm sure Derek Mason had one. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think. With Bax Homeworks, get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. Usually we see fans filing in right about now, but the game doesn't start until 8:30. So no fans in the building yet. Predators versus Avalanche tonight at 8:30 p.m. Puck drop. Pre-game 7:30. The game, by the way, is on TNT. So no Willie Donick and the crew tonight, unfortunately, on FanDuel Sports Network. But you do get to hear Kenny Albert, Brian Boucher, and Jody Shelley. All three wonderful at their job. So I'll give Willie Donick the night off this time.
Okay.
This
okay.
time.
Not as many this year for us, so we can deal with it. There were years where we had like 10 games that we didn't get to do.
One texter said, met her at summer camp? Question mark. My imaginary girlfriend from Canada.
Band
no,
camp?
No, that takes me back to Camp Silver Beach. That was the overnight camp I went to.
Camp Silver Beach?
Camp Silver Beach. On the Eastern Shore. Not Camp Crystal Lake.
Oh, fortunately for you.
Yes.
Yes. No Voorhees is running around, but I remember the one hot girl at summer camp, Emmy Tappan. Emmy Tappan, she was the love of all of the campers. It was, you know, the love of everybody's life at camp. And this one time, I've told this story before, I think. I can never hear the song, is it Mario, Let Me Love You?
Yeah.
You should let me love you. I can't hear that. Like that song has to be 20 something years old. And I can't, whenever I hear that song, I think back to the Camp Silver Beach talent show when one of my cabin mates decided to surprise Emmy Tappan by serenading her with that song.
Oh.
And the look on her face of sheer terror and embarrassment. I don't even remember the guy's name, but I remember how embarrassed he made Emmy Tappan feel in the summer of, like, 2003.
I admire that guy's guts, though.
He tried.
I would have never done that.
Oh, heck no. Remember that one time in band camp?
All right, let's keep it PG, American Pie. All right, Jerry on our text line says, my imaginary girlfriend from Canada cannot fathom why the Predators would want to take on another bad contract just to get a prospect. Oh, there you go. Thank you, David. Everything that we've talked about this year is how we've had older players. How Steven Stamkos is a bad contract, and we can't get rid of it. But why would we want to take on another one? It just makes no sense to me.
Well, because you don't know what the rest of the package is, right?
It's not just...
You're not just getting Andre Pollard,
no,
obviously.
This was my point. Let's say a team calls about Steven Stamkos, and the team says... We're only willing to take on Steven Stamkos at 50% retained, meaning the Predators have to keep the $4 million. I'm screwing this up in my own head.
And there's a lot of levels you can do it on.
Right, but basically, let's say the Predators do not want to. Let me start this again. Let's say the Predators do not want to retain salary on Steven Stamkos. You want him, you've got to take on the full freight. And the team says, we can't do that. Will you retain 50% of his salary? Because that's the maximum. Can you retain 50% of his salary? And Barry Trotz can say, yes, but you are going to give me a first-round pick and one of your top three prospects. If you don't want to give that up, then I'm not going to give you Steven Stamkos at $4 million. That's the point. But you take on the bad contract in addition to other assets, but it may help you get better assets because you're doing the other team a favor.
Or you could blend it together and say, okay, you're not going to retain. All right, we'll take the full contract, but you got to take Pollard. That's I think what Barry was saying philosophically is that's what you weigh.
I got myself tongue-tied there, but
because remember, you only have the retention spots.
They have each team has three.
But how many does Nashville have now?
They have two because they retained on Matthias Ekholm and they retained on Colton Sissons, but both of those contracts expire at the end of the season.
Right, so they can only use one spot on that. So
they
could play that card, but that would take that out, and now you can't do that for anybody else. So you want to hold on to that retention spot for a great deal. And I let me say this. Steven Stamkos is playing much better the last couple weeks. And I think he is showing that if he were to be put on the right team who's got the players, as we talked about, he's a shooter. He needs the distributor. If he gets on a team with a distributor, I think that team could be sitting, Steven Stamkos could help our team. That's good for the Predators. So now they've got to get Marchessault going a little bit here, right? If they want to try to look at all these possibilities, they're not going to trade everybody, I don't think. I don't know if you're going to have a huge fire sale here. But what you want is to get maximum value for guys who have been pretty darn good players or great players over most of their career. It just hasn't happened here. But I think there was a moment maybe a month ago where you'd say, what do you think you can get for Steven Stamkos? The answer might have been, I don't know. What can you get? But now I think he's shown enough. The guy can still play. And especially if you put him on the right team with the right guys, I think he could be a big asset for somebody. And you could get a big asset in return.
And you've seen this around the league. It's a different situation, but a player like Shea Weber, for example, his career is over. He's on long-term injured reserve, but you've seen his contract traded from team to team. I believe Utah had it, and now Chicago does, or Chicago had it, and now Utah does. I don't know. But those teams get assets for taking on that contract, basically to just pay Shea Weber. That's the point, Jerry. It's not just the Predators taking on a bad contract for nothing. You hope that the Predators would be willing to do that, and Barry Trotz said he is.
Right, but what did he say? It depends on how long the contract is.
Yes.
If it's a bad contract that you only have to take for the end of next year, one more year, that's a lot different than saying you're stuck with this guy for four more years. That's a very big difference.
Yes. So I appreciate Barry Trotz saying that he is willing to do that, because I think if he is going to maximize his assets, he is going to have to be creative, which means he's probably going to have to retain salary, which means he's probably going to have to take on a bad contract. So I appreciate the fact that he is open-minded to all of that. So I think that's a good thing when the Predators start to sell off. Our friend Hair Metal Henry says, tap-in, as in tap-in that, I will show myself out. It was actually spelled T-A-P-P-E-N, not T-A-P-P-I-N. I wonder what she's doing right now.
Let's find out.
No, I've already gotten myself in trouble with
Google. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't even go down that road.
D-Mace is right.
Bridget.
Don't do it.
I love you.
You're the real love of his life.
I never had eyes for Emmy Tappan when I was a teenager. I did not serenade her with Mario. All right. That'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Jonathan Hutton will join us. Silly Underdog Picks. Bowl season is here. Willie Donick needs to formulate the plan.
I will let the panel know.
Okay.
What the games are, the eligible games.
It's coming down to the wire. Derek and I are neck and neck, and Hal and Chris, they're eating our dust. We'll see what happens in bowl season. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we won't forget about you. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.